All right, having said that, if you wish to follow along, turn to Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6. Since it is a brief passage, I will read the whole, well, just a few verses, 5 or 6. Numbers chapter 6. Moses is continuing in his account here, but he says these words. Numbers chapter 6, verse 22. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his son, saying, On this wise, or you might say, in this way, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them. So they were to actually say it.
Yes, sir.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. They shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them.
Amen.
Having read through the book of Numbers, and not necessarily having read through it right before we entered Numbers, but having read through it before, I knew this passage was here, but I was focused on chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And when I got to this one, I thought, my, oh my. I want to try to be honest with you now. I read these words, and I remembered the rest of the book of Numbers.
Yeah, exactly.
And the account of what takes place in many circumstances recorded in the book of Numbers, and I thought, my, oh, my.
Exactly.
I must confess that I even thought, is verses 22 through 27 true? Do you remember some of the things that this nation did and said toward God?
Exactly.
And what God did because of their rebellion,
yes, sir,
to them in the wilderness?
Yeah.
And yet before it even happens, God says, priests, speak to them on this wise and say. That just struck me.
Yeah.
But let me at least in word crush any doubt. God meant this, and God did this.
Amen.
Because God could have, and would have been right had he done so, God could have crushed this whole nation in the wilderness.
Yes, sir.
Because of their rebellion.
Exactly.
Took his loved ones on to glory and been done with this thing.
You're right.
But he had their good and our good,
yes,
in his purpose.
Amen.
Because in fact, had he actually crushed this nation in the wilderness, all of humanity would have perished without hope.
Exactly.
A little bit of foundation. Try to be brief. In the Hebrew, the word here, to bless, it means this, that it struck me odd when I first read it, as most things in the Scripture do. Because I am sure that on far too many occasions I approach the Scripture from the power of the flesh rather than approaching the Scripture, God teach me what you are saying. To bless means to kneel before. If you look at the base meaning of this word to bless, it means to kneel before. Give you an illustration. If you've probably seen movies on TV, someone comes in before a king, they're going to be blessed. Or you know, some of the old English would take the sword.
Yeah.
You know, touch what is it? The shoulder. What does the person being blessed always do? they kneel before the king. So then it began to make a little more sense. But think about it, in the scripture, because what we see in the movies, that don't matter. Y'all laughing like that's ought to be laughed at.
Yeah, that's true.
In the scripture, which is our only standard of what we believe, how we think, how we walk, who we believe, when men bless God, now that sounds odd, but it happens in the scripture, Ephesians 1, the first part of verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that what Paul wrote? We know he was inspired. He was moved to the Spirit to write that. So Mason, I know that's okay. When men bless God, they kneel before him in adoration.
Yeah.
Right? That's what the scripture's teaching there. We kneel before him in adoration when we bless God. We do not add anything to God's essential character.
Exactly.
When we bless him, we bow before him. And we adore him. When God blesses man, man kneels before God in humble submission to receive a benefit, a favor, something conferred from the blesser. This is my title and subject, Blessed by the Blesser. Think about this. Take note of this, and if you want to turn, you can, but Hebrews chapter 7, as soon as I get there, I'm going to read it. If you wish to turn, Hebrews chapter 7, there is a divine principle taught concerning blessing. And in the verse I'm going to read, Hebrews 7 and verse 7, it teaches us this divine principle, and it teaches this divine principle as an absolute. There is no contradiction to this principle.
Right.
Because it says, and without all contradiction. So Mason, there is no there's nothing that will contradict this. And without all contradiction. And this is used in the sense of the second sense in which I talked of blessing. When we bless God, we still bow before him. He does not bow before us. We bow before him in adoration of him. But when God blesses a man or a woman bows before him. And this is the principle. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better.
Amen.
You see that? The less is blessed of the better. By default, this teaches me at least one thing. You and I do not cut the mustard when it comes to standing before God.
Amen. That's right.
Yes, God created man in his own image. But man has marred that image from the fall even unto now.
Yeah.
Without going into some diatribe or arguing one way or the other, I am sure there are some ways in which man steal. Manifest that image. Mason, I think they're still. But we've marred that image.
Yes, sir.
I believe when you, if you could have looked at Adam and Eve, you could have said, I can see their creator in them.
Yeah.
Now you do not.
Exactly.
If it's there, for the sake of argument,
It
is hidden. Hidden away somewhere. What I'm saying is, we are corrupt by nature. We are sinful by nature. We drink iniquity like a thirsty man drinks water. It is natural to us.
Exactly.
When we were originally created, because all of us were in their loins, in Adam's loins.
Yes, sir.
When we were originally created, God called us good. And very good.
Yep.
He now says about us, there is none good.
That's right.
No, not one. In other words, we are totally depraved. Joe kind of said it. But I'll say it another way. Our best doesn't even have right, the right to stand before God.
Amen.
The best place for any sinner, any son or daughter of Adam and Eve, the best place for us is to bow in the dust before God.
Amen.
God will never save a man or a woman until God Almighty first makes them to know they are lost.
Amen. That's it.
I'm talking about conversion.
Yeah.
What most people think of about being saved. Some say getting saved. But being saved. No one is ever found by God.
Yeah.
Now they are lost from the get-go, but no one is ever found by God until God manifests to them that they are lost.
Exactly.
So take note of the blessing in conferring favor upon. Without contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. Think about the phrase. I do not mean, again, to be hypercritical. And I know most of us probably say it. It just as a way of, you know, human compassion or whatever. Someone sneezes or coughs. What do we say?
Bless you.
Bless you. Don't we? Which way are you meaning that?
There you go.
Which way are you meaning that? Well, preacher, it really don't apply to either one of those scriptural ways. If you got that, maybe you got the point. Again, I say, I'm not telling you, don't tell someone bless you when they sneeze. But do you think you're superior to them? Do you think they should bow before you? Are you bowing before them and giving them adoration? No, of course not. It's simply something that something happened. I was even told, I asked this question one time, and I was told that, I know a fellow, his head's a book. And anyway, I'm about to say things I shouldn't. His head's a book. And he said this actually began to take place, the practice began to take place way back yonder, like in the Dark Ages or something. And someone would sneeze or cough. It was supposed they were sick. And back then, when you got sick, just sick, you know, didn't have antibiotics.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, this person may be on the way out, so bless you. You know, God better be with you, because you may be in trouble. But then, let's take it even further. If we say to them, I've people said that even here, have a blessed day. Are you trying to confer upon someone a blessing? You can't. That's right, but you can't. And again, I am not trying to be hypercritical. But let us remember the scriptural principle of blessing. Men can bless God and should. But we only do so in kneeling before God in humble adoration.
Amen.
And God can and does bless some men.
Yes, sir.
But he only does so when we bow down before him, acknowledging he is the better.
Amen.
God is far greater than us. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 9, and I want to look at this in light of Israel as a nation. Just as a nation. Deuteronomy chapter 9. Let me move. Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day to go into possess nations greater and mightier than thyself, cities great and fenced up to heaven, a people great and tall, the children of the Anakims, whom thou knowest and of whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak? Understand therefore this day that the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee. As a consuming fire he shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord hath said unto thee. Speak not in thine heart after that the Lord thy God hath cast them out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord doth drive them out before thee. It ain't because you're even better than them.
Exactly.
It certainly ain't because of your righteousness. It's because of their utter wickedness.
Amen. Look,
not for thy righteousness. How many times does God have to tell us that?
Yeah.
Over and over and over.
Right.
Somebody said, well, preacher, you done taught this to us over and over again. Earl said it to us over and over again. Joe said it over and over again. Paul's starting to say it over and over again. We're still going to have to hear it till the day we die. Not for thy righteousness or for the uprightness of thine heart dost thou go to possess their land, but for the wickedness of these nations the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee, and that he may perform the word which the Lord sware unto thy fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Understand therefore that the Lord thy God giveth not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness. Over and over, it's like, the flesh says, God, stop it. I'm tired of hearing this. What does he say? Not for thy righteousness. And then he says this. For thou art a stiff-necked people.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes, sir.
But in spite of that,
exactly.
In spite of what we will see, God willing, if God leaves us here that long for me to go through it, in spite of what we see in Numbers, God brought them into that land.
Yes, sir.
Did he not?
Yes, he did.
Now, we will see some things, and I must deal with those things then. I do not have time to deal with them now. But illustration, would it everybody that died in the wilderness, was everybody lost? No. Moses died in the wilderness.
That's right.
He wasn't lost. But some people were lost.
Oh, yeah.
Some people were destroyed because of pure unbelief against God.
Amen.
But we will deal with that later. But I know, at least with me, and I figure it's true about you, we want to have our blacks and whites so that we know how far we can go before we're really in trouble. Don't we now?
Yep.
Now you know what you're in for when we start going into the rest of the book. Let's move on. Did God bless Israel? Yes. Yes. Did God bless every Israelite? No. 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 And why is that so? Unbelief? Yes. But it's even deeper than that. And Paul tells us of it in Romans 9, verse 6. For they are not all Israel which are of Israel.
Amen.
This is no new or dispensational truth. That's not just something that's true now. Some teach that. But that's not so. Because when Paul illustrates this in Romans 9, 7, and 8, he goes back to Abraham and starts with him.
Yep.
Not Israel, Jacob.
Yeah.
Right? He goes back to Abraham and said it's in the seed.
Yes, sir.
Clearly in Galatians, he said that seed is singular and it's Christ. And writing even to Gentiles, he said, if you're a believer in Christ, I'm oversimplifying, I know, but if you're a believer in Christ, you are Abraham's what?
Seed.
Seed.
That's right.
So that makes me a part of who? What would, part of Abraham, but what would later become to call what? Israel. Think of this. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3. God told Abraham, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed.
Amen. That's right.
You see, the inclusion of the Gentiles ain't no new or dispensational thing.
Yeah, you're
think of it. Even in Israel in that day. Now, not in this day, but as they moved into the land, I think of just two people. Rahab and Ruth.
Yep.
They became Israelites.
Yes, sir.
Because God had chosen them to be Israelites.
Amen.
Before the world began. So having established that truth, they're not all Israel which are of Israel. Even some Gentiles have been grafted into Israel, where some Israelites by nature have been broken off because of unbelief. God didn't break them off just to be cruel.
You're right.
They're broken off because of what? Unbelief. But Gentiles who believe have been what? Grafted into.
Yeah.
That's what this book teaches, does it not?
Yeah.
Now think about this. Still laying a foundation. The reprobate amongst the elect often experience residual effects of the blessing. They often, but they're not really experiencing the blessing.
That's it.
1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, I've got to establish these truths. Because as we go through Numbers, there will be some twisted knots that I will not be able to untwist. We will simply acknowledge the knot, try to state as much as possible the truth of thus saith the Lord, and move on with it. 1 Corinthians 10, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea. Who's he talking about? These people we're reading about here. This cloud and sea, that happened to them. Now look. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat. And did all drink the same spiritual drink.
Yep.
And then look, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ.
Yep.
So they all, in some way, partook of Christ.
Exactly.
Is that not true?
Yep.
In some way. And even the reprobate. If there's a person in this assembly that's even reprobate, doesn't believe, and will never believe. Yet, if they're in this assembly, they experience some residual effects of the blessing of God on his people.
Yes, sir.
Then he goes on, but with many of them, God was not well pleased.
Yeah,
for they were overthrown in the wilderness. This is not about who's saved, who's lost. This is just dealing with facts.
Yeah.
Look, now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Now, Mason, that's clear enough.
Yeah.
I don't need to hammer on that. They were our examples. Let us not do like they did.
Yeah.
Neither, verse 7. Neither, verse 8. Neither, verse 10. Do you see it? Here's things they did. Don't do these things. Isn't that what he's saying?
Exactly.
Isn't that what he's saying? Now, verse 11, now all these things happened unto them for in samples. They are not our example, but they are in samples.
Yeah.
And they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Well, God said he blessed me. Yes, he did. If you're Israel. If you're Israel. But if you're just one of the reprobate among Israel, you may think you got the blessing and you got nothing. But not only that, the elect, having the reprobate in their midst, often moan because of the judgment of God toward the reprobate in their midst.
Yep.
Think of what Joshua and Caleb had to go through.
Yeah, you're right.
Now, it's not long. These people now, they're still right here at Sinai, and they're just about ready to start moving out. Remember, if you've read it. And it won't be long, they'll be right at the metaphorical gates of Canaan, right? And Joshua and Caleb are sent in with 10 others to spy out the land, and they come back. You know, 10 said, we can't do it. Joshua and Caleb said, God give us this land. Let's move, fellas. Those two men had to go through the wilderness for 40 years just like everybody else.
Exactly.
Right? God didn't say, well, you boys camp right here a while I take these folks around and show them a thing or two. Now, did they? Huh? They didn't get to stay right there and look over the Jordan and say, whoa, what a land. Well, I'll be glad when this 40 years are over.
Yeah.
They had to go through the same 40 years.
Yes,
do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let me give you one more point. The sins of believers. Don't you ever forget this. Don't take Numbers 6, 22 through 27 and say, well, since God promised to bless me, then I will live exactly as I please in any facet of my inner being. Because in your inner being is the fallen flesh. And the sins, even the sins of believers, brings God's displeasure. 2 Samuel 11, verse 27, concerning King David. In the matter of Uriah and Bathsheba, and it says, and the thing that David did displeased the Lord. And you know what? The sword never departed from David's house. Any of you ever feel like you're there? Can't excuse our sin. A man will reap what he sows.
Yes, that's right.
I do and am. You do and you are. And don't look for God to change it.
Exactly.
But yet he's blessing us. If we're in Christ. Do you hear me? He's blessing us if we're in Christ. I want to be one of the elect, don't you? I want to be one of the elect. I mean, I just can't imagine Joshua and Caleb when they had to turn, Mason. Can you? Had to turn their back on the land and go into the wilderness again. 40 years.
Yep.
I want to be one of the elect. The elect are promised the blessing of God. And God has ordained means, but it is backed by his sovereign will. And they, that is the priest, shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. I like that. Now let's notice the three facets of the blessing. First of all, that was all foundation. The blesser is the Lord. There are not two blessers here. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, when I say that, because you read, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel. Right?
Exactly.
But they are not the blesser.
Exactly. That's it. Yeah.
They are not the one who will actually confer the blessing. They are simply declaring him who is the blesser and what he's pleased to do when he blesses. But yet they are the means through which this is announced to the people of God.
Yeah.
Right? Now, I think some of you probably know where I'm going. You see, the blesser, that is the Lord. Capital O, capital R, L-O-R-D, all caps. The blesser uses human means to declare the blessing. Yeah. We see that in the priest. But the human means are not the blessers. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This is a truth we must never forget. And I say that because people have forgotten it.
Yeah.
In the days of what I would call the New Testament church, this evidently happened, Jack, quite quickly. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? Now was it about the doctrine of the person and work of Christ that they were arguing about? Was that what it was about? No, no. That would have some that'd have some validity. Mason, we kind of talked to him. That'd have some validity. But be careful, because Paul, Christ told Ephesus through John, he says, I know your works. I know what you've went through. You stand for doctrine because you know those that are apostles. You call the rest of them liars. You remember that? You got the doctrine right.
Yeah.
You know? You're forbearing, you're doing, but you've what? I got one thing again. You've left your first love. Who's the first love?
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
Jesus Christ. Now look what he says. This is pertinent. You walk as men, for while one saith, I'm of Paul.
Yeah.
And another, I'm of Apollos. I'm of Apollos. I like Apollos. God really does something for me when Apollos preaches. Now, folks, I've heard us say that before. Boy, I sure like so-and-so. I'm glad you do. But he ain't the blesser.
No.
You hear me? And some men are far better preachers than others.
Yes, sir.
It's just a fact. But that ain't the point. If they're both preaching Christ, the problem, if I see a problem between the two, the problem's here, not in those men.
You're right.
If they're both preaching Christ. So I like Paul. God does something for me when Paul preaches. I like Apollos. Well, I was converted. God used Apollos to convert me. And I just really get it when Apollos preaches. Or you know, verse 5, who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But now don't be careful. Look, but ministers by whom you believed. God uses this means.
Yes, sir.
Even as the Lord gave to every man. And let me tell you, God said in his wise purpose, so-and-so is going to believe when so-and-so is preaching.
Yes, sir.
And so-and-so is going to believe when so-and-so is preaching.
Yeah.
And so-and-so is going to believe when so-and-so is going to. That's what he's saying here.
Yeah.
But look, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Paul says. He's using an illustration. And Apollos watered. Oh, but look at it. You see it? What does it say? But God gave the increase.
Amen.
Do you see that? So then, neither is he that planteth anything. Now, he didn't say planting was nothing.
No.
Now, did he?
No, he didn't.
He didn't say watering. No, get it right. Neither is he that planteth anything, or he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. You see, if I, oh, God forbid, it's tough for me to even say, but if I turn my back on God, God's kingdom will not suffer one iota.
You're right.
Yeah. God will raise up his person, his way. Will he not?
Yeah.
He told those one folks, I don't believe it was exaggeration, if these keep quiet, the stones will cry out.
Exactly.
Because
right.
God's got his means and it'll happen. Why? Because God gives the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. And that's what he says. But then look at what he said. We are laborers together with God. But who gets the credit?
Amen.
Ye are our husbandry. Is that what he said? Ye are God's husbandry.
Amen.
Ye are God's building. Mm-hmm. So then, that's established. Who does the blessing? God does.
Amen.
He uses means, but don't exalt the means. Thank God for the means.
Yeah.
Love the means. Love the person who is the means. Support the person who is the means. But they don't get the credit. Now do they? They don't get the credit. Number two. The blesser, that is the Lord, guarantees keeping as a vital part of the sovereign will and blessing. Does he not? The Lord bless thee, and notice a comma, and keep thee. Do you see it?
Amen.
Men argue, can a man be saved or lost after he's saved? It is such nonsense.
Right.
Now, it is not if you believe you save yourself. Or if you believe you help God save you, then yes, you would have some part in it. But if God's doing the blessing, then God's got to do the keeping.
Amen.
Yes or no?
That's it.
The way it is. The blesser, that is the Lord, guarantees keeping as a vital part of the sovereign blessing. And what is that blessing? I think we have an explanation of this in 1 Peter chapter 1. If you want to read it while I go through it. 1 Peter chapter 1. Before I go any further, time's going by. The blessing of God is not things.
That's right.
What was the one thing? What's the one thing that God gave to Israel that kept them going through the wilderness?
Yeah.
Does anybody know? What's the one thing? F-A-I-T-H.
That's right.
Was it not? What's the one thing that hindered? The Bible puts it this way. Their carcasses fail in the wilderness. Isn't that what it says? What was the reason? UNBELIEF. Now let's read 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. See Peter doing exactly what Paul did? What's he doing? He's bowing before God and giving adoration to God, is it not? Which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The foundation of our salvation is in Jesus Christ, who he is and what he did.
Amen.
The foundation is not faith, it is Christ. But I have no connection to that apart from faith. Look what it goes on. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith. And I remember Earl saying this, I may not have it quite right. Faith is laying hold of God. It is. But faith is first God laying hold of you, because he gives you that gift.
Exactly.
He gives it to you freely.
Yes.
That's God snatching you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's got you in his hand. You know what the book says? He's got us in his hand. The book says a righteous man can fall, and he can even fall, what is it, 7 times, isn't it? But you know where we fall? In his hand.
Amen.
We're still in his hand. Do you get it? Through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold testings and temptations, that the trial of your faith, now look at it, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And you haven't even seen him, but you love him. And you believe him. Think about this. Real, real, bona fide, God-given faith will stand the test, whatever it is.
Amen.
It'll stand the test. If God gives you true, bona fide faith in Christ, you will die with that faith.
Yes, sir.
You will die with that faith.
That's right.
Even if it's in the wilderness. Even if it's in the wilderness. You see, the blessing is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's the blessing. It's not things. Remember Paul said, Romans 14:23, and I know he was talking the context, the immediate context there is meats offered to idols and drink, wine, and that kind of thing. But he said that which is without faith is what? Sin. Faith is it. You see, if God blesses you with faith, you got it all, because that faith is in Christ, and he is all. Number three, the blesser, that is the Lord, promises his personal attention to the blessed.
Yes.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance, that's the same word, face, upon thee and give thee peace.
Amen.
In other words, when you turn your face to somebody, what are you doing? You're giving them personal attention.
Yes, sir.
If you turn your back on them, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You're taking it away. God says, my face is toward you. This Israel he's going to bless, God's going to look at him.
Exactly.
In grace and peace.
Amen.
You see, God promises to act toward us in graciousness, to assure our experience of peace.
Yes.
But this peace is not the absence of turmoil and war. It is a calm assurance based upon the Word of God revealing the person and work of Jesus Christ. Think about it. Think of the history of Numbers and what these people went through. And then let me read this to you. And you know what? I'm not going to have you turn to think of this. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. But it's not because just the faith. It's not that we've worked up something. We didn't work up faith. Faith, God gave it to us. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Is this not a blessed person?
Yes, sir.
Now that means everything now is going to be better. Ain't that what some people preaching now today? But look at what it says. And not only so, but we glory in what? Tribulations also. I don't think we do right at the get-go.
Yeah, you're right.
But if you got real faith, he'll work this in you.
Yes, he will.
Usually at the get-go, when tribulation comes, I'm like this.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah.
Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing this. Knowing what? Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. And I believe that applies in both respects. We begin to understand God loves us. God loves us. And he knows what's best for us in this life. But he's also given us love for him. Let me tell you, believing God is not just, okay, God, I'm going to take this. That is unbelief.
Yeah, you're right.
Belief says, Lord, you're right. And this is best. So that kind of lets me know how little faith I have.
There you go.
What about you? That gives me a little inkling into how much unbelief I have. Because every time I murmur against a circumstance, who am I really murmuring about against?
Yeah.
Who really?
Yeah.
God. And I forget that quick.
You're right.
Let me sum up. The face reveals much. I don't have time to give you this. Let me just give you one example. This is a negative illustration. Cain offered his sacrifice.
Yep.
And you know what? I know Cain was really happy when he did.
Yep.
You know that? You say, preacher, it don't say that. Yeah, it does. Not in those words, but it says it. Cain was happy. He was ecstatic.
Yep.
You know why I know it says that? Because when he found out that neither he nor his sacrifice was accepted of God, what did it say that happened to Cain? His countenance fell. He wasn't happy anymore.
Exactly.
Hmm? Countenance proves a lot, don't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh? And there is a countenance that goes deeper than just this. Now, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That countenance is down in here in the spirit and the soul. Now, there's many passages I was going to give you. I don't have time. Man has a wicked countenance in here.
Yes.
Only the grace of God can produce a countenance that smiles at God in the midst of tribulation and trouble and trial. You know that? It takes the grace of God. I want you to sometime go back and read. I want you to read this because it's a lengthy passage and I went too long. I want you to read sometime Psalm 89, but specifically verses 13 through 37. They apply to King David, but they also apply to our Lord Jesus Christ. Read that sometime. Think about it. It is in Christ's face, by the preaching of Jesus Christ the Lord, that we actually get to see God's glory. Isn't that what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 7? And he said, this treasure is an earthen pot. There's a means.
Yeah.
But the glory and the excellency is of who? God.
Amen.
I'll close with this. You mentioned it, Job. Moses asked, well, it's almost like he was demanding, show me thy glory. What did God say? I will get a hold of you and I will stick you back in the cleft. Didn't he say, I'm going to put my hand over you?
Yep.
You see? And I'll pass before you, but you won't see my what?
Yeah.
You won't see my face.
That's what he said.
But he did hear the name.
Yeah.
Now, if you disagree with me, I understand. It's okay. This is not a thus saith the Lord. I just feel that he told him, there's one called Jesus of Nazareth. I just like to think that. And he said, you know what? You're not going to get to see my face yet, but you're going to get to see what? My hinder parts. Moses seen somebody walk in front of him. God held his hand over his eyes while the face came by. But then when the hinder part, he took it away and said, look, there I am. There I am. What did Christ say to his disciples? He that has seen me has seen the Father.
Amen.
I believe he meant that right here. The most reprobate man that ever walked when Christ was on this earth, when he seen Jesus Christ, he had looked at God Almighty.
Yes, sir.
Do you know that? But I believe it's deeper than that. He that seen me down in here by faith. Guess who we've seen?
Yeah.
The Father. The Father. Think of this. This is one reason why I chose this song. 277 verse 4. Lord Jesus, wilt thou mercy show? And save me by thy grace, that I may, when this life is o'er. This is not all there is to it.
Exactly.
Everyone here has someone that's went on who believed Christ. And we have the promise of God to know that they are doing what? They are looking at his lovely what? Face.
Amen.
He didn't turn his back on them when they came. When they entered into his eternal glory, he has the right to say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. But he knew them. And he looks at them, Joe. And another song says, behind a frowning providence, what is there?
Yes.
He hides a what? A smiling face. God loves you if you're in Christ. And he's doing what's best for you.
Amen.
And I can't explain how that's all true. I just know that it is true. Let's stand and sing.